So Hare Krishna. Thank you all very much for coming. In the end of the sixth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains to Arjuna the perfection of yoga. He says, Yoginam api sarvasham matgaten ratmana shadavan bhajate yomam sa me yuktatmamo mataha. That of all yogis, the best is he who is engaged in matgaten ratmanaha, who always has his mind fixed upon the Supreme Lord. That is called bhakti yoga, kevala bhakti. And that yoga is elaborated throughout the middle six chapters of the Bhagavad Gita. The Bhagavad Gita is like a delicious sandwich. And the sandwich has two slices of bread, one at the bottom and one at the top. The top is the middle, is the upper six chapters, what is that, 13 through 18, which deal with the topic of mainly of jnana, knowledge of the self, the soul, separate from the body. And the beginning chapters deal with the subject of karma, our action, and our action in relation to the Supreme. But the middle six chapters has the essence of the Bhagavad Gita, and that is chapters 7 through 12. So in the beginning of the seventh chapter, Krishna says, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So Krishna says, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. He doesn't say that part. That's Sanjaya saying. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha means the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Being, is speaking. Maya shakta mana partha yogam yunjan marashaya shamshayam shamagramam yatagashiti tachinu ghanateham sabi ghanam idam bakshamishishata yajgatva nihabyo najgatabam avishishate manushanam sahasteshu kashchid yatate siddhaye yatatam apishiranam kashchid mameti tatvataha. So in the first three verses, Krishna is explaining that one should keep his mind always attached to him. Maya shakta mana. Someone turning the volume, playing with the volume. Maya shakta mana partha. Yogam yunjan. Engaged in this yoga, you can actually know me in full. This is Krishna's endorsing that this is the best method of understanding God, is this process of loving devotion. As one time, Jesus was asked, what was the essence of religion? He said, love thy Lord with all thy heart, all thy mind, all thy soul. So Krishna is saying the same thing here. Maya shakta mana partha yogam yunjan marashaya. And then he says in this chapter, but I will now explain to you, Arjuna. He doesn't say, now I'm speaking chapter 7. But he says, now I'm going to explain to you both phenomenal knowledge, knowledge of this material world, and also knowledge of the spiritual reality. Jnana and vijnana. Also this translates, I will teach you knowledge of my powers and also knowledge of my sweetness. First we have to understand Krishna's powers before we can delve into his sweetness. So, out of many thousands among men, Krishna next says, hardly one is seeking perfection. Kashchid yatiti siddhaye. Just one person maybe is looking to spiritually perfect himself. Yatatam api shirhanam. And out of those who are striving in their spiritual perfection, hardly one even knows Krishna. If you're selling diamonds, you're not going to have many customers. If you have something very, very valuable, very, very rare, it's very rare to find such a person also who is interested. So Krishna then goes to explain about the material elements and the spiritual elements. Bhumirapo nalobayu kamanabudhurevacha ahankara ityame bhinaprakadir ashtada apareyamitastanyam pakatim vidhime param. Is it the microphone? Maybe. Jivabhuta Mahabaho Yayadam Dharate Jagat. Etat Dhyonini Bhutani Sarvaniti Upadarya Ham Krishnasya Jagata Prabhava Playasata Mata Partaram Nanyat Kinchit Asti Dananjaya Mai Sarvamidam Prokram Sutamana Ganaiva. So Krishna explains that this material world has eight basic elements, expanded up to 24. The eight basic elements is earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego. So you have the five gross elements. Earth means anything that has some mass, some substance. Water means the principle of cohesion. So even if you look into an atom, there is a proton and neutron stuck together. Bhumir apo nala, fire, means the principle of energy transference. So in the fire means that there's, like, you have a fire in your digestion. It doesn't mean you have to put water on it or make sure it doesn't, your body doesn't blow up, spontaneous combustion. But there is a digestive fire. There is a chemical process by which the energy that's within the food is transformed to something that the body can use, and the food is transformed into another product. So that's called fire. Air is the principle of movement. So within the atom, you even have the electron, that's the energy, and there's also movement, and ether is the space by which this is all contained. And then you have other elements that are more subtle, the mind, the intelligence, and the false ego. The mind carries us from one body to another, just as the air carries an aroma. So in our next life, we'll carry our different conceptions. Actually, the conceptions that we cultivate in this life will decide what type of future birth we'll get. If air passes over a rose field, the air smells like roses. But it's not the air that is actually smelling like roses. It's just its association with the rose field. Similarly, if the air passes over a garbage dump, you have the beautiful smell of the garbage dump by the association. So we, by our associations, our mind picks up various conceptions, and it takes us from one body to another. Sometimes we're born as a cat, sometimes as a dog, sometimes as a president, and sometimes as a plumber, street sweeper, as they used to say. And then Krishna says, Eta dhyonini bhutani matstani upadarya, sarva bhutani upadarya, aham Krishna. All these things come from him. That even everything is rest upon him as pearls are strung upon a thread. And then he begins to explain how we can actually see him everywhere. Rasoham apsukunteya prabashmi shashashurayo pranava sarvavedeshu shabdake purusham mishu punyaganda prithivim cha tejas chasmi vibhavasho jivanam savabhuteshu tapas chasmi tapashvishu bijamam savabhutanam vidiparta sanatanam bhudibhirmitam vasmi tejas tejas namaham. So he says, I am the pure taste and water. So whenever we drink water, we can remember Krishna. I am the light of the sun and the moon. So if we're at night, we can see the moonlight. If during the day, we can see the sunlight. Prabhashmi shashi shuryo pranava sarva vedeshu. I am the omkar in the Vedas. And shabdike purusham nishu. I am the sound in ether and the ability in man. I am the original fragrance of the earth. Punyagandha prithivim cha. Tejas, the pleasing heat and fire, and the pleasing smell that comes. What does a flower come from? A flower is born of the earth. So the flower is actually a transformation of the earth. So there, within the earth, there's a capability of making so many different types of fragrances. So I'm the pleasing fragrance that is produced from all the various flowers, the pleasing heat of fire. Tejas tasmi bibhavasho. Jivanam sarvabhuteshu, the life of all living entities. Taspas chasmi tapashvishu, and the penance of the ascetics. He goes on explaining all these different things. And so then one will think, well, if Krishna, if you're everywhere, then why don't people know you? So he says, Etat yonini bhutani matsani padara ham Krishna shek jagata prabhava playasata mata prataram nanyat kinshirasti dananjaya mai sarvam rumpuktam sutirmana ganaiva rasaham. I got to back up. Chibya gunamayar bhavair. Everyone is deluded by the three modes of nature. Chibya gunamayar bhavair. Ebi Sarvam Idam Jagat. All living entities are influenced by the modes of ignorance, passion, and goodness. These are the different flavors of material reality. Like in the morning, in the mode of goodness, you're more peaceful in the morning. Usually there's less violent crimes at 7 a.m. Usually there's not so many, hopefully people are not too intoxicated at 7 a.m. It's more peaceful. Mode of passion, the middle of the day, we want to be very busy and do our work. And the mode of ignorance at night, either sleeping or sex indulgence or intoxication. Tamagun, our good friend Tamas. So we're bewildered. Chibir gunamaya bhaver ebi sabam adam jagat mohitam nabi janati. And because of this bewilderment, nabi janati, we do not know the Supreme Lord. Lokamam ajam ahavyayam, who is unborn and inexhaustible. So how can we get beyond this illusion? Krishna explains in the next verse. Daivyesha gunamayi mamaya maya durataya mameveye prapadyante maitam tarantite. That simply, if we surrender unto the Supreme Lord, Daivyesha gunamayi, his energy of illusion is very, very powerful. It's durataya, it's very difficult to overcome. But maitam prapadyante, if we surrender unto the Lord, maitam tarantite, it is very easy to cross beyond the influence of this illusion. Just like if you're trying to cross an ocean, it's very difficult. You would have to use a boat. But the boat of bhakti is so powerful, as soon as you get on the boat, the water shrinks to the size of the water that could be contained within the hoof print left by a little calf. So then the question is, okay, if it's so easy, why don't everybody worship you? And then he explains that there are those who are falsely intelligent. Namam diskritino mudha prapadyante naradama maya prithagyana suram bhavam ashrita chaturveda bhajante mam janasukritino arjuna artijagasu artarti ganicha bharatarshaba tesham gyani nityayukta ekabhakti vishishyate piyagirana niyotartham samchata aham sa chama mama priyaha udharva sarva evate ghanat mamaya mamehitam asitasi yuktatma mamevatum anuttamam gatim bahunam janmanam mante gyanavam mam prapadyante vasudevam samamiti sa mahatma sudurlabaha. So Krishna explains how there are those four types of persons that generally they do not surrender to the Supreme Lord, because their intelligence is wicked. It is corrupted. Duskritina. Du means clever, but also wicked. And kriti means your abilities. It means you might have abilities, but they're not used in the proper function. So there's the fool, a person who just thinks, if I work very hard, I'll be happy. And so he works like a donkey will work very hard. A donkey will work so hard for its master, even though grass is available everywhere. Like in India, there is a deer that produces deer musk. Anybody ever heard of this before? The musk is produced from the belly button of the deer. And it has such a powerful, intoxicating fragrance. It's actually deer musk is 10 times the price of gold. This fragrance is so intoxicating that the deer runs around all around the forest, sometimes exhausting himself to death. Where is this beautiful fragrance coming from? When it's coming, right? From his own belly button. So the fool works very hard, not understanding that his pleasure can come from within, from a spiritual connection. So he is like the donkey who's worked so hard to get only grass at the end of the day and a kick in the face by his girlfriend when he tries to have copulation with the she donkey. When grass is available everywhere. Then there is the Naradhamas, those who are the lowest of mankind. One Acharya explains that those are the personalities who previously have taken to the path of bhakti, but after they got what they wanted out of Krishna, they have given it up. Adham. Da means down. Down they go. Then there is Namam Diskutino Murha Papadyantena Haradhama Maya Pritha Gihana. Those who are falsely intelligent, who think, oh, Krishna, he is just a person. Actually, we are all Brahman. This is false intelligence. Maya Pritha Gihana Suram Bhavam. And those who are atheistic by nature, like Ravana, Kamsa, some of the other personalities. Then who are the persons who surrendered Krishna? Krishna explains in the next verse that those who are distressed, those who are thinking, oh, I want to get some money, and you know, I played the lottery, let me give my chance, let me press my luck upon Krishna as well. Those who are curious, and those who are seeking the absolute truth. Just like the Shudra is generally distressed, so he can also approach Krishna. The Vaishya, he wants money. The Kshatriya, he wants to know who's in charge. And the Brahmana is sincerely seeking after the absolute truth. So those four classes correspond as well. But Krishna explains that the one who is actually sincerely seeking, he is the best, especially those who are ekabhaktir, who are firmly established in trying to understand God through love and devotion. And he says, the others, udara sarva evate, they're also good. But the one who is trying to understand me through love and devotion, I consider him my very self. He is dependent on me and I am dependent upon him. So then Krishna explains, The person who has perfected his jnana out of many thousands of lifetimes, bahunam janmanamate, he finally comes to the point of Vasudev, of bahunam janmanamate, jnanamam papadyante, vasudevam sarvamiti, samahatma sudabha. He surrenders unto Krishna, Vasudev. And such a soul is very rare. So out of many thousands of lifetimes, finally someone will pick up a bead bag and chant Hare Krishna. Thousands of lifetimes of perfecting their devotional service come to the point of really taking sincere and serious steps to improve their devotion. Now Krishna begins to contrast this with the other forms of spiritualists. He says, kamastastir hitta jnana prapadyantena devata tam tam imam ashtaya prakatiyaniyata swaya yo yo yam yam tanum bhakta shara architam ichati tasya tasaram sharham tamavevididamaham sataya shadaya yuktas tasararanam ihate labate cha tatakaman mamaeva vihitan hitan. So he explains that those whose intelligence, hritta jnana, hritta means to steal. Their intelligence has become stolen. Stolen by what? Kama, by lust. Those whose intelligence is stolen by lust, they surrender to the various demigods. Oh Ganesh, give me this. Oh Shiva, give me this. Oh Brahma, give me this. Oh Indra, give me this. I will do this, and you give me this. Krishna says, those whose intelligence have been stolen by lust, they worship various demigods. Kamasastair hitta jnana prapadyantena devata. Tam tam imam ashtaya prakatinita aswaya. I give them their shraddha. Yo yo yam yam tanum bhakta. I give them, recognizing their material desires, I direct them and give them their shraddha, and I give them their result. But he says, antavat, what does anta mean? End. Antavat means perishable. Antavat tufalam tesham. Those who are attracted to the temporary fruits of this material world. Tadbhavati upamedasam. Krishna, again, is a little insulting. He says, upamedasam. Those who have very tiny brains. Deva deva yojo yanti. They worship these various demigods. Because what can the demigod give them? Only something that is temporary. They might give them a nicer body in their next life, or give them a good wife, or a house by the sea, or a color TV. Jaya Jagadishwari. But these things are all temporary. And Krishna, he speaks against this worship for temporary gain. He says, Antavatufalab. He said, Yajo yanti mad bhakti yanti maamapi. But those who worship me, they come to my abode, which is eternal. The place you never have to take birthing in. Throughout the 15th chapter, Krishna speaks that line again and again. That place you never have to ever take birth again in the material world. So then he says, he speaks about another class of spiritualists. He says, Avyakta vyakta papapa na manyate mam abudaya param bhavam ajanato mam abhuta maheshwaram. Those who are abudaya. This time Krishna says brainless. They think, in the past I was impersonal, avyakta, and now I'm a person. They think everything is God, I'm God, you're God, we're all God. And Krishna is just now a person, but eventually he, you know, pours it back into the ocean and it's all just one thing. That there is no personality to the Supreme Being. Krishna calls such persons brainless. He says, Avyakta Vyakta Papanam, Manitema Bhudaya, Param Bhavam Ajanato. They do not know my supreme existence, Ajanata, Mama Bhuta Maheshram, and that I am the supreme controller. So why is this? It's Maya. It's an illusion. We are covered over by various types of illusions. Krishna explains, Naham Prakashya Sarvasya. Yoga Maya Samavritaha. That the fools cannot see me. Prakash, I'm not manifest to them. I'm covered by my illusion. Yoga Maya Samavrita. Muda yo nabi janati. They cannot understand me. Lokayam ajam avyayam. Who is unborn and inexhaustible. So generally, if you put a cover here, you couldn't see me, but I couldn't see you either. It's But Krishna explains that his yoga maya is like a tinted window. It's like when you go to the FBI and they put you in a room in the movies. So he can perfectly see everything. He says, Vedaham samati itani. I see, I know the past. Vartmanani charjana bhavishyani tabhutani nam tvedana kashana. I know the past. I know the present. I know the future. Chabhutani, I know all living entities. Nam tvedana kashana. But me, no one knows. So, this is a result of Maya. Maya is seated in Ichadvesha Samutena, Dvandamahena Bharata. That we are bewildered by their sense of desires, hankerings, and lamentations. Oh, I wish I had this. Oh, I wish I didn't lose that. I wish I didn't have this. Desire and hate. Ichadvesha Samutena, Dvandamahena Bharata, Sarvabhutani Samaham, Sagyanta Parantapa. But those who are given up sinful life, yesham tvantagatam papam, given up papam, jananam punya karmam, establishing good spiritual activities, te dvanda mohanir mukta, given up the dualities of desire and hate and illusion, bhajante mam dhridharvata, such souls can take up this path of devotional service. Now Krishna refutes this later on, actually. He reamends that statement in the 18th chapter, saying, Sarva Dharman Prithaja, if you just surrender unto me, even if you are on the lowest platform, I will free you from all sin. I will elevate you to the platform of bhakti. So not that you have to first become pure and then practice bhakti. Yesham tvantagatam papam janana punya karma na dedvana moha nirmukta bhajante mam dhradavrataha jharanamara mokshaya mamashita yanti e Then he speaks a different class of yoga devotees, the yogis, who are trying to get free from jharanamarana, old age and death. Jharanamarana mokshaya, achieve liberation. They meditate upon Krishna in love and devotion, and they are established in their path. Sari buddhi devam sari yagya chaye priyu payana kalepimam chayukta cheta saha. So one who understands that Krishna is the governing principle of all matter, sadibhuta adidevamam, and the governing principle of all demigods, the various controlling deities. Sariputari Deva Mam Sari Yagya Chave Piru. And he is the governing principle of all spiritual activities. Such a person can be firmly established in their spiritual existence. So that was the 7th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Thank you very much. Stop here. Ask if there are any comments or questions. Yes, sir. Someone can give the mic. It's right there. Make sure the turn the switch on. Flip it up. I think you pressed the button off. I think you just pressed it off. Just press it once. Tap it. Yeah. There you go.
Shrestha, I also read some of the chapters. I also read some of the chapters of Bhagavad Gita. But I want to know that you said that Bhakti Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Karma Yoga. So which is the better or best out of that? Is it like one way is better or is it like we can... Because when I read, some people are telling like Karma Yoga is what the normal people can practice. Not everybody can practice Bhakti Yoga or something like that.
Maybe. Does everybody hear the question? So he's read Bhagavad Gita and there is a little confusion. What is the best path that is given? Is it karma yoga? Is it bhakti yoga? Is it jnana yoga? Is it that only some people can practice bhakti yoga? And what was the last part?
Yeah, I think the question is regarding this path. So it is it a better path? One is better than the other or equally good?
All yogas end with bhakti. The acharyas explained that you cannot achieve perfection in any of the yogas without bhakti. But as Krishna explains in this 7th chapter, we recited that verse, Bahunam janmanam ante jnanavan mam parpadyante. After perfecting your jnana, we come to the path form of mam parpadyante, surrendering unto Krishna in bhakti. So the perfection of jnana is bhakti. Similarly, it is said, yat karo shi arashna si yat yoho si yat dirasiyat yat tapasya si kunteya tat kurva asmanarpanam shubhar shubhar palevam mokshase karma bhandanai sanyasa yoga yuktatma vimukta mama parshasi. Krishna explains in the 9th chapter that the perfection of your karma is that you're doing everything for Krishna. Coming to the platform of bhakti. If we practice karma, without a preeminence of bhakti, then we will only achieve repeated birth and death. There will be no moksha. There will just be birth, death, old age, and disease, lifetime after lifetime. The natural position of the soul is a bhakti. It is the organic yoga, meaning that it's natural for the soul to have bhakti. All other paths are mechanical methods to help us to get to bhakti. So from 1st chapter through 18th chapter, Krishna endorses bhakti very, very strongly. Arjuna asked this question. He says in the 12th chapter, Tesham, does anybody know the 12th chapter? He says, that's on the tip of my tongue. Arjuna asks the question, who's more perfect in their practice? One who worships you impersonally, maybe perhaps through the path of jnana or yoga, or one who surrenders unto your personal aspect? And he said, both are good. But the one who tries to approach me through the impersonal worship is strung with difficulties. If you ask Krishna for help, you get his help. And as we said here, daivyesha gunamayi, mamaya dhratya, this maya is very difficult to overcome. Have you ever seen a picture of maya? Durga Devi? Have you seen picture of Durga?
Yes.
How many arms does she have?
I'm not counted as well.
Does she? What
16
is,
maybe.
Does she usually carry flowers in her arms, or what does she carry?
She carries different things. Maybe.
Weapons.
Yeah, weapons.
She comes to slap some sense into us. She has a trident, and the trident has the threefold miseries: adi atmaka klesh, adi bhotaka klesh, adi devaka klesh. Adi atma means miseries that are caused by your own self. You're unhappy, you're distressed, you're sick. Misery is caused by adi bhotaka klesh. Misery is caused by other people. Your boss is giving you a hard time. Your grandmother is yelling at you or whatever. Mosquito is biting you. These are also living entities. And adi devaka klesh. Misery is caused by the demigods. It's too hot. It's too cold. Tornadoes. So these things are there to wake up the soul. Say, hey, you don't belong here. Krishna explains throughout the Bhagavad Gita, sometimes people have a design, oh, we're going to make this world nice and wonderful. But Krishna says in the manual that it's not meant to work that way. You can try all you want, but it is always going to have miseries. Because that's the actual, if you try to make fire cold, it won't work. Fire will never be cold. So he says, anityam ashukam, dukalayam ashashvatam. Dukalayam, misery and temporary. Anityam, temporary, ashukam, with misery, without happiness. So the Krishna firmly endorses, he says, bhakti mam abhijanati, I can only be understood by bhakti. He further states this in Bhagavatam as well, in the 11th canto. Only by bhakti alone can I be understood. And that is the actual spiritual nature of the soul, to have a loving connection to God. So it's a very basic message. Love thy Lord with all thy heart, all thy mind, all thy soul. All the religious processes are to help us get to that platform. So that it's not a dogmatic that, okay, you are a Hindu or you're a Catholic. It's actually what is the state of your consciousness. How are you connecting to the Supreme?
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions? Yes. Yes, thank you. Is it on?
Hello?
Yes.
Originally in Vedic civilization, people are divided into four caste system according to their work: Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Sudra. But in today's respect, people are doing many people are doing various works and rigid constraints of work according to his caste system is very difficult to follow in today's life. Where someone is Shudra, Vaishya, Kshatriya or Brahmana, is it determined today by on which family is he taking birth, or based on what is his nature and which work he is efficient in?
Okay, so this is the question of caste. Everyone heard? The modern system of caste is a complete abomination of the ancient Vedic culture. There is no scriptural support to see that someone is a Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, or Shudra by based on their birth. Krishna says, Chatur Varnyam Maya Shishtam Guna Karma Vibhagashaha, that one is accepted to be part of a particular occupational division based on how they behave and what kind of work they do. If someone is a priest, there, if they have a priestly behavior, and if they have priestly work, they're accepted as a Brahmin. Whether they're born in India with brown skin, or whether they're born in Africa with black skin, or China, regardless of their birth, it is based on one's characteristic. one of the oldest Upanishads, very pedigree Upanishad. It is describing the story of Satyavan. Young boy, he wanted to become a Brahmin. He went to the guru and he said, "Oh guru, I would like to apply for the school. I want to become a Brahmin." When you applied for school, they asked for your first name, last name, your information. So similarly, this guru, he asked for all of his information. So he said, "Oh, what's your family name?" And he said, "Oh, let me go back home. I asked my mother." So he went back home to ask his mother. His mother said, "Huh. Well, your dad could have been this man or this man." She couldn't count on all her fingers. She was a prostitute. What is a prostitute in the caste system? Is that very well situated within the Varnas? So he said, "You can use my name." Mother said, "You can use my name as your last name. You know, I'm a prostitute. I don't know who your dad is." So he went back to the guru. He said, "Oh, Guruji, my mother is a prostitute. So I'm using her name as my last name." And the guru said, "You're an honest man, therefore you're a Brahmin." So it's by the characteristic, it is not by one's birth. That has no scriptural support. And it is, of course, it would be easier if your father is a judge, it doesn't make you a judge, but you do have advantages. You have training at home, you have the example at home. But government in this world would qualify you as a judge if your father was a judge. Hopefully. Just maybe if you have enough money nowadays. But so yes, the Varna and Ashram system means at the very young age, a child is helped to cultivate what is their nature. For example, women generally make better mothers than men. You can train a woman to be a boxer, and she can be very good at it. So all of us have our natural capabilities, and we can be trained to do so many other things. For example, there was a devotee, his name is Sankarshan Prabhu, not the one in Austin, but a god brother of mine. He went, he got his master's degrees in psychology. He was doing very good. But he was never happy with that profession. It was not his nature. One day he worked on a tractor. Very happy. Drove a bus. Very happy. So one should find, and our educational system, it is all egalitarianism. We're all one. We're all the same. It doesn't do a good job of recognizing differences. We're all forced to study the same topics. And for example, in Germany, when you're about 14 or 15, everyone is put into trade schools. If you're intellectual, you stay in university. If you're inclined for engineering, you go to engineering school, etc. It's geared to help somebody at a very young age work on what that is natural for them. You go to American university and ask anybody what's their major and what do they want to do, and they're all confused. Because our educational system is not geared to bring about that. So we're way over time. Thank you very much. If you have any other questions, you can ask me after the program. Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki!